Today is the first Sunday after the Feast of the Epiphany, and on this Sunday we always celebrate the baptism of Jesus. Every single year we read the story of Jesus' baptism, and this year we are reading it from the Gospel according to Mark. We have a baptism today at the 10 o'clock service, but as is often the case, you all don't get to see and witness and experience baptisms because you come to the -2-degree service as opposed to the 9-degree service. But I'm going to preach the same sermon to you that I'm going to preach to them, and it's a sermon that I preach a lot. And the reason I preach this sermon a lot is because the words of this lesson, this gospel lesson that I just read, are the words that animate me as a priest and as a Christian and as a person. Those words that God says at the end of this gospel lesson, the voice from heaven speaks, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Those are the first words that we hear from that voice from heaven, from God, in the gospel. Those are the very first words, at least in Mark's account. Because Mark starts not with the birth of Jesus, but as he comes onto the scene as an adult. We also heard this morning the very first words spoken in creation. "Let there be light." And God saw God separate the light from the dark, the day from the night, and said that it was good. It was good. God was pleased with what God had made. God is pleased with this person coming up out of the waters of baptism. And what always gets me, and what actually makes me quite emotional when I read that story, is the fact that Jesus hasn't done anything yet in the gospel. Obviously, he's lived a life up to this point, but from the story's perspective, Jesus has just walked from Nazareth to Judea and gone in the water and come up out of the water. And that's it. And that's when God says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Isn't that incredible? That God says that before Jesus does anything to earn that pleasure? As a parent myself, I'm often kind of caught between, you know, just loving my kids because I love them, and I see their faces and I just go, "Oh my God, I love you so much." And then they do something and I go, "Oh, I love you even more." And I think, wait, did I love them more because they did that? No, it's just that I get to revel in what they do. And sometimes they don't do the stuff I want them to do, and yet you still love them, right? Becoming a parent 3.5 years ago made me even more aware of my intense attraction to this lesson in the gospel. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Those words are the prime motivator of my faith. They are the reason that I do what I do. Because in them I see our collective mission, which is to tell people over and over again that they are God's beloved. And we have to say it over and over again because we don't believe it often enough. A couple of years ago, I wrote a song that I'm going to share with you in a minute because I think it says what I'm trying to say a little better than I'm doing right now. And it's a song that has 3 verses, and you can look at the lyrics in your bulletin because I know that some people can hear a song better when they're reading the lyrics at the same time. The 3 verses begin first from a child's perspective, then from a young woman's perspective, and then from just anybody who's ever been to church before's perspective. But the singer is God. Not me, God. You know what I mean. The perspective, the voice is God's voice that I'm trying to channel through song. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen to those words. Listen to these words. And please own and embrace the fact that you are God's beloved child. We have the opportunity to hear this lesson at the beginning of every year. But the beginning of every year is not the only time that we can remind ourselves and everybody we meet that they are God's beloved. We can do that at all times. This is, "You are my child."
You turned away so they could not see you cry. Maybe tomorrow you'll stand up to those guys, 'cause they picked you last for the football team and made so much fun of your lifelong dream to become a famous scientist someday. You wanna crawl home and go straight to bed because of all the hurtful things a bully said, and this is when I hope you hear me say, "You are my child, and I love you, yes I do. You might not believe me, but still it's true. I will never stop delighting in you, 'cause you are my child. You slip your dress on and then you turn around. Reflected back, your smile fades to frown. You look at the models in the magazine and you realize you'll never be a beauty queen if you have to make your body look that way. You stare into the mirror for a day or two, and you can't see the beauty staring back at you. And this is when I hope you hear me say, 'You are my child, and I love you, yes I do. You might not believe me, but still it's true. I will never stop delighting in you, 'cause you are my child. You've gone to church on and off for several years, but you have never quite shaken all your fears. You've always been afraid you're not good enough. That's why you put your faith in so much other stuff and feel a hole inside that grows each day. But look inside and see me filling up that space, and know I long for you to look and see my face. So raise your eyes, behold me as I say, 'You are my child. But still it's true. I will never stop delighting in you, 'cause you are my child. You cannot earn my love, nor can you lose it. I give it freely. All you need to is choose it, 'cause you are my child. And I love you, yes I do. You might not believe me, but still it's true. I will never stop delighting in you, 'cause you are my child. You might not believe me, but still it's true. I will never stop delighting in you, 'cause you child."
Amen.